As promised, we're joined right now by somebody who spent 7 years in the NFL. He is an NFL analyst. He is host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. He also works with Westwood One and CBS Sports Network as a broadcaster. You can follow him at Ross Tucker NFL. He appears courtesy of My Front Page Story. Lots to get to, Ross. What's going on, Ross? How are you?
Jim, fantastic. How you doing, man?
Good, dude, good. When I say there's lots to get to, there's lots to get to. So before we get to the NFL and your take on Seattle in particular, I've got to ask you about some food. You know that. You were at West Point once again for UMass v. Army. How many brats did you have? How many filet sandos did you have? And how many pork loin sandwiches did you murder?
Well, so first of all, Jim, I don't know if you saw, but Bill Murray was at the game.
Hmm.
Bill Murray just decided he had never been to an Army game and he wanted to go. I didn't get to meet him because I was obviously up in the booth, but I would have liked to have taken Bill to the tailgate. It's called the famous Lichtenberg tailgate at Army. I had two filet sandwiches. I had three brats, and I was actually really proud of myself, Jim. I made the decision like, you know what? That's a lot. And if I step away now, I'll feel good about it. But then they brought out these pork loin sandwiches. So what I did was I just grabbed the pork loin sandwiches, didn't eat any more bread, and just dipped the pork loin itself into spicy mustard. So kind of a happy medium there where I still feel like I didn't go nuts and might have issues during the game, but I ate enough that I didn't have to eat till dinner.
I think that you showed considerable restraint and great discipline. It's almost like you put a stop limit on yourself and you cut out the bread. That's extremely well played. So good job.
Well, I mean, it's hard to say this with all those soldiers there, but on some level it was heroic. Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Well, I think that's fair to say. I think even they would agree with that. I think they would agree with that. Ross Tucker's joining us. All right, so a lot of places to start, but why don't we start with Seattle? They are 3-7. They have lost 5 of their last 6. They have scored a total of 13 points since Russell Wilson's been back. You made the point they should trade Russ. Lay out the argument for me. Why do you think that's in their best interest?
Yeah, I just watching them the last two games, it just sort of feels like it's time. You know, they're not a roster that's a player or two away. The offensive line is still struggling. They have a couple good receivers, but the defense is not nearly what they'd like it to be. And it just feels like they need to replenish. And they can stick with Russell Wilson and try to build it around him, but I don't think he really wants to be there. And I think he knows that there are other places that would be a better opportunity for him. Meanwhile, there are so many teams, Jim, that are going to be looking for a veteran quarterback, or any quarterback for that matter, and it's not a great draft for quarterbacks. Literally, when I tweeted yesterday, okay, at Ross Tucker NFL, when I said it's time for the Seahawks and Russell Wilson to part ways, you should have seen all of the Steelers fans, all of the Broncos fans, the Browns fans, the Miami Dolphins fans. It is going to be a good market to trade a veteran quarterback. And let's put it this way, too. Let's say you're looking for a quarterback and you can trade for Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson. I mean, you tell me who you're trying to get. The guy that still has the legal issue hanging over his head, or the guy that's been squeaky clean, and I think he's only like 32, the way he does everything, he's probably got 10 years left.
Ross, not only that, but not only would I be interested in Russ if I were a number of these teams, if I were Russ, I'd be looking at these teams and think they look a lot more attractive to me than the situation I'm in right now. So if, in fact, they were to move him, if they were, does it feel like that might be the end for Pete Carroll? Or if you were in charge, would you want him to be there for a post-Russ rebuild?
Yeah, I think it'd probably be a good time to make sort of a hard reset there with that organization, in particular with Pete Carroll. I don't know. Maybe he does. Maybe he wants to undergo a rebuild. I mean, they would get 3 first-round picks and more, so they'd be able to replenish the roster, go with a young quarterback. I think it makes the most sense for them as well. I guess they have to decide whether or not they want Pete Carroll to be the guy to do that. He's the oldest head coach in the NFL. There are things they do schematically, clock management. He's still very conservative in a lot of ways. Doesn't feel like he's really adopted a lot of the analytics stuff. I think that's part of the reason why Russell Wilson wants to move on. I think he realizes that Pete Carroll is always going to want to run the football and play defense. I mean, he's a defensive-minded coach, coach for the Jets, coach for the Patriots. I just think that's sort of in his DNA. And I don't know. You know, on the one hand, I think it'd be a good time to move on. On the other hand, it kind of feels like the Bill Belichick reset and rebuild in New England is going pretty well.
Mm. Ross Tucker is joining us. All right, Ross, what about the Titans-Texans? How do you explain what happened in that game?
You know what? Believe it or not, Jim, on the Even Money podcast, I loved the Texans in this game. Here's why. The Titans, the two games before had won by a little bit, but they had less than 300 yards of offense in one of them, less than 200 yards of offense against the Rams. They just weren't really clicking. They weren't playing that well. You could tell not having Derrick Henry was affecting them, but Vrabel's a heck of a coach. They were finding a way to win close games. The Texans had a bye. Tyrod Taylor had more time to heal from the injury. He'd come back and play against Miami, didn't play very well. Plus, I think people underestimate how many man hours go into each NFL game and why surprises are so prevalent. Upsets, surprises, whatever you want to call it. I mean, you know this, Jim. There's 100-some people in the organization all working tens and 20 hours to try to get these teams ready for this game. Sometimes they just have a better plan. You know, it doesn't happen as much in college football because of the talent disparity, but everyone's trying to come up with whatever plan they can that week to give their team the best chance for success. Sometimes the other guys come up with a really good plan, your plan's not as good, and you lose. I mean, it's why we've seen so many double-digit underdogs win this year. It's why we've seen, even yesterday, you know, the Colts blowing out the Buffalo Bills. Nobody expected that. The Bills didn't have a very good plan. The Colts had a great plan. The Colts executed. Happens way more than, like, the NBA or baseball. It's because scheme, game plan, play calling, coaching, it just means it matters a lot more, I feel like, in football than other sports.
I think it's a really interesting point, and maybe if you're the Titans and your 100 guys are looking at the other 100 guys, knowing they've lost 8 in a row, maybe you're not planning quite as hard, or maybe there's something subconsciously. Who knows? They'll tell you that's not the case, but they end up getting beat. So as you look around, you mentioned the Bills, Ross. When you look at what happened to the Titans and you look at what happened to the Bills, who is the best team in the AFC in your mind right now?
Right now, the team that's playing the best would be the New England Patriots, which is pretty crazy when you think about it. I'm not ready to say that they are the best team, but I think they're playing the best. They and the Chiefs are playing really, really well. Now, the Chiefs still weren't awesome offensively yesterday, but that's four games in a row that the Chiefs have been incredible on the defensive side of the ball. So right now, and by the way, the Colts are playing pretty darn well, too. But right now, I would say the Patriots and the Chiefs, which if you would have said that 4 or 5 weeks ago, nobody would have believed you. But I guess it's sort of, how's that go, Jim? Same as it ever was, Patriots
right.
And Chiefs?
Yep. Yeah, but no, I mean, the Chiefs left for dead a few weeks back, and now they may arguably be the team beating the conference. Ross Tucker joining us for a few more moments. Ross, now you know the Eagles as well as anybody. I'm curious, what do you make of what you've seen from Jalen Hurts during this run where they've won three of their last four? Do you feel like maybe he has established himself as this team's quarterback, not just for this year or for the future, or do you still need to see more from him?
Well, he's certainly making big strides and taking steps in that direction, but I think it's really what Nick Sirianni and the coaching staff have done that's probably impressed me as any. They finally realized, Jim, that they need to lean on the offensive line and the run game. I mean, their offensive line has been dominant. Last four games, over 200 yards rushing a game in the NFL. You just don't see that. And anybody listening that watched the Saints-Eagles game yesterday, it was almost laughable at times how much time Jalen Hurts had to throw the football. He's taking care of the football. His running is such a huge factor for them in the run game. It's just extremely impressive. The Eagles have a dominant offensive line. Again, I mean, I thought in 2019 they had the best O-line in the league. Right now they don't have either of their starting offensive guards, but it's hard to argue any offensive line has been better over the last month.
We were talking to Ross Tucker. I don't know why we thought that Trevor Siemian was going to be anybody other than Trevor Siemian. And all of a sudden, the Saints have got some issues. Now, you and I, Ross, have talked about my front page story numerous times over the years. I've got to think it's a very busy time of year due to the holidays and Black Friday. How are things going with my front page story?
Well, I appreciate you asking, and going awesome, man. Absolutely. I think finally a lot of guys that don't know what to get their wives or their mom or whatever for the holidays or Valentine's Day, I think they finally figured out this is way easier and way better. You just talk to one of our writers for 10 minutes. They write the most unbelievable story about your wife. It's framed. It looks like it's on the cover of the newspaper. And then for the holidays, as she's opening, you say, hey, babe, I wanted something special for you this year, so I had a story written about you. That might be the best line you can give, Jim, when you're giving someone a gift. I had a story. She'll be like, wait, what do you mean you had a story written about? And then she actually reads it. She'll be blown away. You got to get the money quotes in there, like, I never thank her enough for all the little things she does. I don't let her know how much I truly appreciate everything she does for the kids. Like, she will cry. Your wife will cry for the holidays in a good way. MyFrontPageStory.com. She will cry. You will win. Trust me.
She will cry. You will win. You should hashtag that. Russ, what is the turnaround on this type of thing?
Well, I'm glad you asked that. We can usually get it back to you in about a week. So it's one of those things that the earlier you order it, the better. You know, you don't want to meet one of these people that orders it December 23rd. And I know everybody's got their Black Friday specials out there, and people are like, oh, I should get this for my wife. Listen, the amount of people that are still, like, getting their wives, like, an Olive Garden gift card, what are we even doing? I mean, I love Olive Garden. I got nothing against the never-ending pasta bowl, but change it up every once in a while. I mean, I got a buddy that he's done that for his wife for 7 straight anniversaries. An Olive, a $50 Olive Garden gift card for his anniversary.
Dude, and they're still married?
7 straight years.
And they're still married.
Yeah.
Not happily.
Like, dude,
I can guarantee that.
One time. Well, she loves it. She likes Olive Garden a lot. But that's fine. One time. Change it up. And you know what would be amazing? If he got her a story from MyFrontPageStory.com, what if she didn't like it? What if she's like, no, I want my Olive Garden.
Well, then you would know. Then she would know. Then he would know. To the guy who orders it.
Yeah, but then you can still just go to the Olive Garden. You can still take her out dinner at the Olive Garden. You don't have the $50 gift card that you went over there earlier in the week to get. You can still take her out.
Well, that's how you play it, then. That's it. But if you order on the 23rd, you will cry and you will lose. All right, so she will not cry and you will win because you're going to be waiting for it the next day and it's not coming. So just give it some time. Ross Tucker appearing courtesy of My Front Page Story. It's a different gift. It's a great gift. Take advantage of it. Ross, great job. Thank you very much. Have a great week, man. We'll do it again soon.